You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of County Cricket Natters. I'm Sam Dalling. We've got the best of the County Championship and the Charlotte Edwards Cup for you today. I'm joined, as ever, by the Queen of County Cricket, someone who's never played any county cricket, which apparently really matters. Annie Chave, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm a bit mediocre and boring, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
Just a bit or very?
No, I am very. Mediocre and boring.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us, Annie, as ever, and we don't find you that at all. And a man who was there to, well, he'll be talking about a bit later on, to he survived his first cider derby, probably had a pint of cider as well, I suspect, one of the evenings. Dan Whiting, how are you?
Morning, Sam. Yeah, it's been a bad few days at the office for Gloucestershire fans, but I'm sure we'll come on to that. I'm sure there'll be just the odd mention from you Somerset guys.
Hey. I don't know why you're looking at me, Dan, through the Zoom camera. And as ever, we have a very special guest, and this one in particular is extremely special. She's won the 100 with Overall Invincibles, although she has now jumped ship to Southern Brave. She also was in Charlotte Edwards Cup action on Saturday for the Sunrisers. Jo Gardner. Hi, Jo. How are you?
Hi, Sam. Yeah, I'm great, thanks. Pleasure to be on.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us so early. And you had a particularly early start, didn't you? You've already been up and out.
I have. I've done a gym session. I've dropped my car at the garage. I'm patiently waiting to see how much that's going to set me back this afternoon.
That all sounds very, very tiring. What does a gym session involve?
Trying to lift some weights. Mm.
Just that.
Pretty much. Yeah, a bit of jumping around.
Far too early for that.
No, you must have been up at the crack before sunrise, which is actually quite a nice segue, which I didn't mean to do, into the Sunrisers game. Let's start because the Charlotte Edwards
Cup. I get such
Cup.
A bad rep here for bad pun slam, and that is like up there with the best.
But it wasn't even deliberate. I'm actually quite quietly pleased about that one. Maybe I'll clip that one and save it. Jo, the start of the campaign at Chelmsford on Saturday. A difficult start for your side because you were playing against the defending champions. Put up a good show, but unfortunately fell just short in the end.
Yeah, it was. We felt like it was a really good opportunity against Stars on Saturday to kick off the campaign. So they were missing a couple of their England players and they had a few injuries and stuff. So, yeah, we approached the game in good spirits and as you do for the first game, I guess. Lost the toss, put into bat. Got ourselves up to 120, which we thought was under par at the time and turned out to be probably at least 20, 25 runs short of something that we would have wanted. And yeah, they got off to a flyer in their power play. They were about 40-odd for none. Dropped a couple of catches in the power play as well, so that didn't help. With Ailish, who opened the bat and ended up going on to get 56 not out. And Stars ended up beating us by 6 wickets in the end, which was disappointing. But like I say, we pushed them to the end. There was only a couple of 3 overs left or something. And in times gone by, I think if you'd have looked at maybe some of our performances last year, that game could have quite easily passed us by without, one, us taking any wickets, and two, being over probably five overs earlier. So, no, it was like really good to see the attitude and the spirit that we put out. And I think we ended up dropping four catches, and I don't think you can win games of cricket in T20, certainly, dropping four catches. But we know that. Just got to put things right for Wednesday, so it's a quick turnaround against Western Storm.
Yeah, it's great to have those quick turnarounds and runs for Cordelia Griffith at the top of the order. Dan, she's someone you know all about with your Middlesex links.
Yeah, I played against her old man once, Frankie Griffith, who played up at Derbyshire, and he played for Winchmore Hill as well, which is a local cricket club. And we used to have these T20, or it was just called 20 over competitions for the borough. And we played them one evening, and in the fading light, Frankie Griffith had me hopping around on a wet wicket. It wasn't much fun, it's got to be said, because he was quite sharp. But you've also got Gayatri Golay. Is it Goal or Golay there? Who's through the North Middlesex Club, which has produced Ethan Bamber, Joe Cracknell, Max Harris, and Luke Holman as well. And it's a real sort of talent pipeline for cricket, isn't it?
Yeah, so it certainly is. And a slight change of coaching staff as well for you this year, Joe. What's Laura Marsh been like? She's coming as interim coach, right?
Yeah, that's right. Marsh is great. You know, she's so cool, calm, collected. I think if you were to spend any time around her, you'd get that message straight across, the way that she acts around the group. Really calm head have around. We've got Mark Broom as well, who's involved with Middlesex first team, joining us as a bit of an assistant coach as well. So no, it's really good to have those guys involved. And yeah, the language and stuff that we use around the group is really, really positive and just brave, I guess. And it's just building that into our identity and making sure that we're displaying that out on the pitch. But yeah, no, obviously Marshy's got such a wealth of experience behind her as well. 3 times World Cup winner, and as a newly developing off spinner, shall we say, it's great to have her to pick her brains, I guess.
You've got quite a lot of youth on your team as well, haven't you?
Yeah, and we've signed a couple of extra young girls this year who are kind of signing their first contracts for Sunrisers. Jodie Grewcock, who's a Northamptonshire girl who I actually coached back when she would have been in the under-11s and 13s at Northampt. So it's quite nice. Yeah. Hopefully she'll get to make her debut in the competition at some point or later on in the season.
Look forward to that. Right, let's go to the other great game in Group A. Central Sparks with a victory over Western Storm. Half centuries for Abby Freeborn and Evelyn Jones. And then wickets for Izzy Wong. I love watching Izzy Wong bowl and bat as well. She was smashing it the other week when I was doing a Somerset commentary. She just kept hitting sixes. Runs for Sophie Luff as well, Somerset skipper of Western Storm. How did you see the rest of that group panning out, Joe? What did you think of that result?
Yeah, I think I probably would have had Sparks down to win, to be fair. Storm are a good team, but Sparks, with that experience of Amy Jones coming back in and the way that they've, like, Sparks' batting lineup looks serious this year, and there were some people that didn't even get into that. And I think Amy Campbell got a quick fire 30 as well at the back end of their innings. And yeah, you look at the openers, obviously Eve Jones, who picked up, felt like, all the accolades last year, and then obviously got rewarded with a little go in the Big Bash and was out with the England A team in Australia. She didn't score any runs this weekend, and neither did Wongy. And obviously, you know how dangerous they are. I think they were 13-2 or something. But yeah, they've got a really strong batting lineup, and obviously bowling as well. I feel like they've got almost innumerable options at Sparks. So yeah, it'll be a tough game against them next weekend at Edgbaston. But like I say, hopefully we can get one over and get a win over Storm on Wednesday.
Have you faced Izzy Wong much before? She's quite sharp, isn't she?
Yeah, I played with her a bit at Warwickshire as well. She's a great character, Liverpool fan. What more can you want? It was her birthday yesterday, actually, so I dropped her a little message. But yeah, no, she is. She can get it through, and I've seen quite a few times her take some pretty sharp wickets.
She can bat a bit as well, can't she?
Certainly can. I think as Sam alluded to earlier, she hit a very fast 96, I think it was, with a lot of bombs in there. You love to see it, really. You just love to see that.
I remember. I'd forgotten that about you, Joe. It's bombs. It's just like Lewis Gregory talks about bombs and poles all the time. Right, let's go north into Group B, and we're up at the Hazelgrave ground in Loughborough, where Northern Diamonds, Annie, we can relate to the Northern Diamonds a little bit because they tend to get to finals and lose them. So there is
I don't know what you mean, Sam.
No, I know. Runs for Lauren Winfield Hill, what a knock, 96 off 51, just falling short of that 100. The Lightning, Tammy Beaumont, we all know her experience and class, 59 at the top of the order. They actually had a huge opening partnership, worth 79, but they had a tough time of it last year, didn't they? Lightning, no wins in their six games, no bonus points, and they've started off badly in terms of results, but they can take something from the performance, can they, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. Kind of, like, as you mentioned, 79 for the first wicket. Marie Kelly has been in blinding form in pre-season. She whacked us all over the park when we played them in a couple of T20s a few weeks ago. So it's no surprise to see her scoring some runs. And obviously, with Tammy's experience, Tammy turns out runs in almost every game she plays. So, yeah, it's not surprising to see those guys have a good partnership. But I was surprised a little bit at the collapse. But like I say, you've got Brycey in there who had literally just come back from the Fairbreak tournament. So she was probably feeling it a bit in her legs. She probably had quite a busy couple of weeks. So she'll certainly fire. She's very reliable. They've also strengthened their ranks with Piper Cleary, I think, who was at Thunder last year. But she's obviously got a ton of experience playing in state cricket in Australia, WBBL, Perth Scorchers and things like that. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised to see them bounce back. But I think they take on Vipers on Wednesday again. Vipers are a stacked team this year. One that, yeah, you keep your eye on their fixtures, I think.
You've done my link for me, Joe, because last but by no means least is that Southern Vipers victory. 8 wickets over the Thunder. As you say, they were already stacked, already winning trophies for fun, and they signed Anya Shrubsall as well over the winter. Is it difficult to see past them, at least in terms of finals day? You'd imagine they'll be there. It's them and one other.
Yeah, for me, they're a shoo-in for finals day, certainly. And you know anything can happen on finals day, as was seen in that 100 final last year, to be fair. But yeah, no, Vipers look really strong. I don't think you can look past them personally, obviously, unless we get a few wins, we can challenge them, being in the other group. But yeah, they're stacked. So much top quality cricketing experience in there, and obviously the signing of Anya Shrubsall is, well, superb, really. Do feel a little bit sorry for Thunder as they got a bit stitched up on their journey down to Hove. I think it took them the best part of 8 hours, and then they've gone down there and been beaten by 8 wickets for a really long journey back up to Manchester. So not ideal in the Thunder camp, but yeah, I'm sure they'll be looking to bounce back as well.
Yeah, they certainly will. And they have, as Joe has already said, only a couple of days. Games come thick and fast in the Charlotte Edwards Cup, and it's brilliant to see. Joe, before we go to county cricket, or the men's county game, I just want to ask you one question. You mentioned, Dan, have you ever played at Lords?
Never played at Lords, no. In fact, I'm absolutely gutted because my son went out there on the outfield in about his fourth game of cricket when he was about 9 years old. And I've spent a lifetime, I've probably got about 700 games of club cricket behind me, having dived around parks with broken glass, heroin needles, dog turds everywhere, and in my son's fourth game, he goes and plays at Lords.
And Annie, have you ever graced the Lord's turf?
No. I've walked on it on Ladies' Day. And that's the best I can say.
Me neither. And I get excited enough when I go down there and take a photo in the morning. But Joe, you played there in a final as well, that showpiece event. What was that like?
Ridiculous. I think that's one word I've used to describe it. I mean, yeah, it was very chaotic because there was a bit of rain around. So I think we only found out about half an hour before our actual start time that we were going to start on time. So warm-ups were a bit all over the place. We had people in the indoor school, people up in the changing room, people down on the pitch, and it was like, right, we've got to quickly come together, do a bit of running. Oh, right, okay, we're going to have a bat first then. And, yeah, it was just a bit all over the place. And then you've obviously got all the entertainment, all the, like, packed-out crowd, and it was just ridiculous. And then to take 3 wickets in the first 10 balls of the fielding innings, it was like, what on earth is going on? And I dropped 2 catches and we still won. So, I mean, it could have been over a little bit sooner. But, yeah, it was just completely bonkers.
I love completely it. Bonkers. What was it like? Ridiculous.
Well, a chance to be back there potentially this year in different colours. Joe will be turning out for Southern Brave when the 100 gets underway. Oh, thanks for taking us through that, Joe. We very much appreciate it. And Joe's going to help us as well go through the Men's County Championship. Look, plenty of draws, not too many results, but there's one result that Annie and I have our metaphorical eyes on. Dan had his literal eyes on down at Bristol. A pretty crushing victory. Innings and 246 runs, isn't it? Somerset's biggest derby victory. What was it like, Dan?
It was dreadful from a Gloucestershire point of view. It's been a dreadful few days, actually, for the club. Not only losing by a record score there, but they lost their captain, Graham Van Buren, to injury. And also the news came through just after the game that ex-player Andrew Simons was killed in a car crash as well. So, you know, and a lot of people in the offices and knew Andrew as well from his time at Gloss back in the 90s. So it was a dreadful few days. Somerset were outstanding, I thought. I mean, we spoke about Tom Abel. I thought his innings was absolute class. As a captain, he leads from the front. It's not only his batting and the runs he's scoring, but the energy that he's giving. He was averaging 134 against Gloucestershire before this game. He's improved it with that 142. And he also smote a mighty 6, which landed perilously close to my motor. So I could have been like Joe, taking my car into the garage. But I did ask Tom whether he had shares in Autoglass, actually, which he found quite amusing. But obviously, you know, Graham Van Buren and then Gloucestershire batted. They were down at 10 men due to the Van Buren dislocated shoulder. And I thought Jack Leach bowled beautifully. Bowled just at the right pace on their Bristol wicket. You know, he out-bowled Zafika Haar completely. And, yeah, they won by an innings and 246 runs. The previous best was an innings and 190. And it was just a dreadful few days. But it's good to see old friends. Good to catch up with my mate Mr. Kirby and Mr. Brooks. And, you know.
I bet they were quite jolly.
They were all right. Well, this was on a Thursday night, so they were, you know, keeping the lid on it a little bit. But it's good to catch up with some lovely Somerset fans. And I even had an apple cake baked for me by a lovely lady called Rosie the Gas Queen.
We'll soon have you converted, Dan. You'll be upping sticks and moving down to the West Country. And why not? Runs for Renshaw and Lammonby too, that opening partnership. Set the tone. Lewis Gregory, 89, including 4 bombs. Run a ball, that's just his situation. And Annie, how good is it? Dan's touched on it, but Jack Leach, we all know the background. It seems to play so little cricket, and when he does play, hasn't always got a bowl. But 8 for him in the game, magic, wasn't it?
Doesn't have to be a raging turner, does it, hey? He looked really, really good. And just want to go back also to the top order have come out firing at last, and we just haven't had that for a long, long time. So the top 3 scores were fantastic. But yeah, Leach leading the way, and how brilliant to see him perform like he did.
Yeah, and another man performing. Oh, go on, Dan, you jump in.
Yeah, I just want to say a quick word for Jacob Bethel. He's coming on loan. And I thought he was absolutely superb. He's got a real maturity. Ian Bell described him as the best 17-year-old he's ever seen. He's from your neck of the woods, Joe, isn't he? He's Barbadian originally and then came over to rugby school, got a scholarship at rugby school. And Ian Bell described him as the best 17-year-old he has ever seen, which is a massive, massive call. But, Sam, you're not a huge fan of the loan system, are you?
It's not I'm not a fan of it. So Gloucestershire had 3, Brad Wheel, Zach Chappell and Jacob Bethel. And as I understand it, Bethel's just there for the one game. And look, this is not a criticism of him, nor really of Gloucestershire, because the system is what it is. But for me, we need to have a look. If these loans are going to become more prevalent, it either needs to be for the season or for the tournament or in an emergency. Because my understanding is that, A, Gloucestershire had other batters that could have played. I don't think Tom Lace is injured. So I don't think you should be able to bring in short-term loans just to cover lack of form. That's what the academy is for. And this is not meant to be a dig at Gloucestershire, because there are other sides that are doing it. But if this carries on, we probably need to look at it. Because so suddenly Team X might loan a player out for one game because it suits their needs, because they want another team to get points against a rival, and then pull them back.
Absolutely.
So I'm just a bit uncomfortable with it. As I say, not a criticism at anyone directly. Great to see Jacob Bethel scoring runs. But I just think we need to be a bit careful with that. Wicket keepers, yes. Specialist position, emergency loan style thing. But I don't know. What do you think, Annie?
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it great to watch him bat? But yeah, it does feel just a little bit wrong. I do agree with you. I mean, like you say, should it be tournament long, or is it, you know, should it be more permanent? It's very, very difficult when you start bringing in a player for one match. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we're a million miles away from seeing the transfer system in cricket. I think with agents having come into the game, etc., I don't think we're a million miles. But that's a whole different subject for another day.
Why don't we franchise it as well while we're at it?
Yeah, if we cut the number of teams,
yeah,
and then you don't have to worry about having so many loans, because all the players play for just eight teams.
Absolutely.
We solved it. Yep. We solved it. Right. Before we go too deep, let's move on to the Joe Gardner Derby, Warwickshire. Versus Northants. That's what they were saying down at Edgbaston. And well, Will Rhodes on a road won the toss, asked Northants to bat. And Joe, I know you're very much Northants is your local side. You're a big fan. You've done some commentary down there as well, like Dan. Actually, he's been in there with Andrew Rad. But yeah, great to see that opening partnership and runs for Northants.
Yeah, record opening partnership, 287, I think it was, between Ricardo Vasconcelos and Will Young. I was following eagle-eyed, as you know, Sam, in the com box at Lord's on Thursday. So, yeah, that was great to see, to be honest. And another 100 for Luke Proctor as well, and a few middle-order runs for Josh Cobb whacking it. Yeah, great to see. And then, obviously, Warwickshire, we had them, like, three down for not that many. And then I think Sam Hain and Rhodes obviously had that massive partnership. What can you do? Get Rhodes out for 99, bless him. And then Matt Lang comes in and scores 140 or whatever it was, 150. Sam Hain ended up on 200, I think, just getting to their personal milestones yesterday by the looks of it. Simon Kerrigan, don't know how his shoulder hasn't fallen off with how much I think he bowled. And then I think Ricardo even had a couple of overs himself. So, yeah, it must have been interesting nonetheless yesterday afternoon for those Northants bowlers. An absolute road.
There's a sort of cricketing stagflation going on at the moment, isn't there, with batting averages going up and then sides aren't getting many points due to all these draws. And the balls are apparently being changed for the next game. I saw Lizzie at Gloucestershire come in with a box. I don't know whether there were the new batch in there, but there seems to be a hell of a lot of draws around the circuit. But Joe, yeah. I just want to say Northants is lovely, and the lunches there are absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's what's important after all, isn't it, Dad?
Massively. You go down to the David Steele room, so you're now in the Lynn Wilson Centre end at Northampton doing the commentary, and you go back downstairs into the David Steele room down below, overlooking like the indoor centre there. And very nice chicken and new potatoes I had. Very nice.
I mean, I was going to ask you, Dan, about Sam Hain's double 100 and whether he could push his way into the England side. We all know that he has the highest list A average for a player who hasn't played international cricket. But 202 off 49 four balls. I'm sure he enjoyed his lunch too, but he would have enjoyed his runs even more.
Yeah, he would have done. He's got to be in with a shout. There are others in with a shout around, aren't they? I mean, Harry Brook, Josh Bohannon, Tom Abel, potentially James Bracey. So, you know, there are a host of guys all pushing for places. And that can only be good for the national side.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, where am I going to go next? It's nice having all this power. I tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Beckenham. Where there was, well, another road. Annie, you were down there, weren't you? Surrey, 6-7-1 for 9. It was the highest first-class innings that's in terms of runs scored without someone getting 100. Pope, 96. Folks, 91. Jamie Overton, 93. Sam Curran, 78. Colin de Grandhomme, 66. Jordan Clark, 55. Oh, I'm exhausted saying it.
Massive amount of runs. It also equaled the first-class record 7 for the number of players making half-centuries. Without passing 3 figures, 3 players in their 90s, like you said. It was quite a game. I went down to Beckenham to see the match, and oh, what a lovely place it was. And it was so, so full of people, great atmosphere, wonderful, wonderful. I mean, everyone was talking about what a pitch to play on, and Surrey certainly did play on it for a good long time. I would say too long. I would have definitely declared a little bit earlier, because Somerset did. But it was amazing to see all these international players, and fantastic atmosphere there.
Burns did exactly the same at Bristol. He went on too long. I know the last day was washed out in this fixture, so you know as happened at Bristol as well, but he went on too long, and I believe that's the first time that he's declared this season. And I mean, why do you need 700? You know, let's call it a day at 550. Surrey, if they want to win the league, have to start picking up wins. Draws aren't enough, and they're at the top of the table. They're going to want to win the league, and you know, I think they need to be a little bit more creative in their declarations and the captaincy.
Yeah, I agree. I know you can't account for rain, but at the same time you can. You've got to have a look at the forecast and think about it. We'll talk about Middlesex.
Yeah, they say they don't look at the forecast, but I mean, that's a crazy way of playing because, you know, they had no play on Sunday, so...
Sam Dalling loves rain these days because he still gets paid even if it rains, so he's a massive fan of the rain.
Oh, yes, indeed, exactly. Yeah, you've exposed me, Dan. Look, we're not quite live. And Joe, on Kent, right, their bowlers, they're having a tough time of it. So their first innings scores that they've conceded, 514, 506, 652 for 6, 571, and 671 for 9 declared. I mean, it's just not quite going right for them, is it?
No, you would say not, and... Northants have got Kent on Thursday, so I mean, if the lads can back up their mammoth run scoring on a road at Edgbaston at the County Ground, then they could be in for another tough week. But yeah, that's not pretty hearing or viewing, I guess, for those Kent bowlers.
Yes, some
and
serious
Crawley's
hours.
not really performing, and so that's. A little bit sad for him too. What really wanted it, and then there was also the whole Gilchrist thing. He'd already equaled the record for consecutive ducks in first class cricket, but this time he did get a 5. So it was only equaled, not beaten.
What's your biggest run of consecutive ducks, Joe? I think I've done 4, but not in professional cricket.
That's a good shout. In professional cricket, I'd like to say it's no more than 2-3 maybe. Generally no more than 4, I don't think. I could be wrong. I could be underselling myself. I've got
we've got 2 4s. Dan Whiting, can you raise us a 4? I feel like, what is it, what's the word game, countdown?
Yeah, that one, you mean.
Yeah, got 2 4s. Dan, have we got a 5?
No, I've never had the Olympic rings, but 4 in a row is an Audi. But 1990 season, I think I had 7 ducks by the end of May. I was in. Bad, Dan. Didn't know what end of the bat to hold.
Is that nothing's changed, has it?
Exactly.
Right. Now, last but not least, in Division One, the Roses game, always a fantastic occasion. And he talks about the crowd at Beckenham. There was a serious crowd in there up at Headingley. Another draw, but hey, there's lots to talk about. Keaton Jennings, 238. He was run out just short of the highest ever Roses score. Interestingly, he's the first Lancashire opener to get a double century since Michael Atherton back in... I read it and now I haven't made a note. It was either 91 or 2001. But anyway, he's a man who could be pushing for an England recall. A man pushing for a potential England call is Harry Brook. He was dismissed having made a quickfire 41 by Matt Parkinson in the first innings. That was the first time he hadn't made 50 this season. He followed it up with 82 in the second innings. So he's got 7.58 at 151. And there was also Joe Root bowling Jimmy Anderson. Not before... No, other way around. Yes. Jimmy Anderson bowling Joe Root. Not before Root had made 147 in the first innings when no one else passed 41. He was dismissed cheaply in the second dig, though. Annie, great fun up there at the Roses game, wasn't it? Well, again, it's just same story, more runs, though.
Yeah. Massive amount of runs and great international players playing. A draw in it really... always looked like it was going to be, you know.
Keaton Jennings, Dan?
Yeah, he's on form. The guy I want to speak about, though, is Matt Parkinson, because it's only fair. We've spoken about Jack Leach and Parkinson's, his rival for that England spinners role. Parkinson bowled just shy of 39 overs in the first innings, picking up, got four wickets, 4 for 50 off nearly 39 overs. So, parsimonious Parkinson, shall we say. And in the second innings, he just bowled a mere 27. So there you go. But he bowled very well on what was a good wicket and a test match quality wicket as well.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of test match quality, great to see Joe Root scoring runs, Joe, because difficult winter for him. We know the changes, but I mean, he's just a class act and it's always good to. It's reassuring. It's like one of those things in life. You just like to see Root with runs next to his name.
Yeah, he's top quality, isn't he? I actually thought he was going to get 100 last week against Essex when Cook got a century in each innings. I thought it would be fitting if Joe Root was to do the same. Ex-England captain ex-England captain now. He's always going to come through, and like you say, against that proper bowlers, obviously Jimmy, Matt Parkinson, very economical. I'd love to see him given a go at some point in the next few months. I think he's more than deserved his opportunity.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. 23 wickets he's got in the Division One of the County Championship so far, which for a leg spinner in April and May, and given the amount of runs. Now, we talked about Craig Overton and Hassan Ali before. He just slips in between those. He's got more wickets than Overton, more than a Bass. And that battle between Root and Anderson, we love those little battles within the games. Who, if you play against or when you play against the Oval Invincibles, who will be the wicket you'll celebrate most, Joe Gardner?
Oh, it's a good question. Probably say Danae van Niekerk based on last year's form and her run scoring, and she hits the ball at very kind of different angles to many other female cricketers. So yeah, I think she'd be prize wicket. But to be fair, yeah, her cappy, Lauren Winfield Hill, if she's striking the ball like she did this weekend.
Oh, well, we will look forward to seeing. We'll keep a close eye on that. Right, let's nip down into Division 2, in the wilderness, as some people call it, but not for me. I was quite happy down there. But we're going to start up north, Chesler Street. Great victory for Durham by 58 runs. They ended up bowling Glamorgan out for 137. I say they, Matty Potts. I think he's gone to Matthew Potts. I think he dropped the Matty. 7 for 40, career best for him, 11 for 101. Dan, he is some going if you can overshadow Ben Stokes.
Yeah, he also got 4 in the first inning, so he got 11 in the match. I think he's on the England radar. I really do. I think he's rapid. He's got serious wheels, and he's come from nowhere. He's probably like their fifth seam at the start of the season, And he's come from nowhere and he's picking up wickets left, right and centre at the moment. And my mate Martin Emerson up there, who I'm going to catch up with this week, works for the BBC Newcastle, covers all the Durham games. He's a massive, massive fan. But Matty Potts, because, you know, he's from the North East, got to call him Matty. And he can bat as well. I saw him at Northampton last year. I covered the Northampton Chevy Durham game. And he and Travaskis came in at 9 and 10 and biffed it everywhere. So he can bat. You know, I think he's just a good all-round cricketer. And I think he's definitely going to be on England's radar.
He certainly can bowl. He's got 35 wickets, which is 11 more than Hassan Ali, who's behind him. So, and this is in the second division, so good on him.
What do you reckon they feed them up there, Joe? They've had Harmison, Plunkett, Onions, Wood, Potts could be the next
Rushworth.
One. Not Rushworth yet. Not quite got the same pace as the others, but yeah, you're absolutely right. But yeah, God, they produce quick bowlers up there, don't they?
Yeah, they breed them differently. Must be. So far, no.
Has to be, doesn't it? Has to be the air up there or something.
Absolutely. I've been up there a couple of times and it's just miles away. So just even further for you guys in the West Country, yeah. I dread to think. Seriously impressive. Not much more I can say. Probably glad he's not in Division 1 having to go up against Northants. But, yeah, impressive.
Yeah, they'll be up there and thereabouts, I think, in the promotion run. As Glamorgan still could be there, that amazing win at Nottinghamshire, and their Aussies are firing. Michael Nisa, 4 for, and Labuschagne, 3 with the ball. I mean, we didn't expect that. Hogan still going at 4 for 67. So, a setback for Glamorgan, Dan, but far from terminal.
Yeah, Labuschagne got 3 last week as well. Yeah. So, he's on form with the ball. Going back to the food thing, though, I obviously covered the Gloucestershire game. And I'll categorically let you guys know into a little secret that Matt Renshaw, although he's not from, well, he's Australian, but he was born in Middlesbrough, but he did not have a Parmo for lunch.
Oh.
Do you know what a Parmo is? Do you know what a Parmo is?
No.
It's Sam, the ham,
you must know.
The ham and chicken thing.
It's a ham and chicken thing, deep fried in a bun, and it's a Middlesbrough delicacy. And
And he didn't want it.
Well, I don't think they were on offer actually, because they just tend to eat quite healthy food. But yeah,
you sound like someone else on Twitter. I'm going to ask you a question, but you can't use this as the answer. I don't know. Right, but let's go down to Lourdes because Joe and I were there on day one. I mean. Many cats called this the title decider. It's very early for that, but two sides absolutely firing. Ended up being a draw. Rain probably saved Middlesex. But Joe, you were there day one. Hamid made a wonderful 100, didn't he? As Toby Rowland-Jones bowled 23 overs without taking a wicket, but he should have got one. But yeah, how good was Hamid?
Yeah, top quality. Like when we were on comms, yeah, he just batted with the proper class that we've obviously seen in bits, but probably a few years ago now. It was nice to see him get some runs, and he looked very assured, very composed throughout the majority of his innings, other than one very strange, odd, loose shot against Toby Rowland-Jones. But, yeah, I can still remember that sound because I'm a loser. He batted very well. Like you say, Middlesex saved by the rain, I think. But Sam Robson dug in and got himself 100, didn't he? So it's good to see. See Toby Rowland-Jones picking up four very impressive wickets on day two. I was pleased when I looked at the scorecard before our game started on Saturday. So,
yeah, he bowled 23 overs. I wasn't thinking you were a loser. I was just, you'd reminded me that he did play this. It was such a composed innings from him. He didn't play a false shot. And on about 70-odd, he just had a complete slash at Rowland-Jones. I don't know why, but all 3 days when I arrived at Lourdes, about 9 o'clock, Hamid was in the nets batting with Ant Bofa on the slinger. So he loves it. Dan, I'm jumping around a bit because I want to come to you on Sam Robson because 100 for him, 100 out of 130 in that second innings to save the game. Peter Hanscom said last week after his 149 at Hove, he's got to be in the England conversation. I'm presuming I'm going to get no disagreement from you on that.
Yeah, I'd have taken him to Australia, actually, for the Ashes last winter. He's brought up in Sydney. His dad runs the indoor cricket school at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and I'd definitely have taken him out there because he was brought up on Australian wickets, but we didn't. He's 34 now, but I love Sam Robson. He lets the ball come to him. He doesn't play out there at all. He lets it come, and he'll play under his head, and he'll work you through the leg side, or he's got a very good cut. But I think he's an absolutely wonderful player, and he's a top man as well.
Yeah, he certainly is. The Middlesex guys, they look very suave in those suits. And now, look, people that talk about cutting the number of counties, or cutting counties altogether, they shall remain nameless, right? You would miss out on so much. On day two, there was a spell between James Pattinson. There's so many Pattinsons. Yes. Pattinsons and that. James Pattinson was steaming in full throttle at Peter Hanscombe, two Victorian teammates. He had two men out on the hook, a man at short leg, a man in front of square at a normal square leg. Eventually, he got him, but there was about half an hour, 40 minutes of amazing high-intensity cricket. And A, we wouldn't necessarily get them if there were only fewer counties, but also for the young lads on the side to be involved in something like that.
And Jason Gillespie said this last week, didn't he, that it's really, really important for these players to play in this higher intensity rather than, absolutely.
Yeah, and Gareth Batty said it as well when he was on a few weeks back. He said that the Surrey boys absolutely went hammer and tongs at Tom Abel, and Hashim Amla came off the pitch and went, whoa, that's test intensity. Yeah. And Tom Abel came out with 150 in that. Yeah. So the county game has to be, preserved, because it is the breeding ground for Test cricket. And the TV rights that make the ECB all the money, 32,000 capacity stadium at Lord's, which is full up, and people buying £6 pints there, the county championship feeds into that, and it is vital to the future of the game.
Well, what did we have? We had Hamid, Duckett, Pattinson and Broad in the not side. So four test cricketers, potentially Clark, James, Patterson, White could have a shout in the future. Middlesex, you had Robson, Stoneman, Hanscombe, Roland Jones. Then you've got Josh DeCares, yeah, the son of Michael Atherton. Robson could get back in there. John Simpson has played for England. So no lack of quality.
Yeah, and that's not without, not even taking into account Beckenham and the stars at Surrey that were just mind-blowing. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
anyway.
And you left out Ireland's Tim Murtagh.
I did. Yeah, I did indeed. Sorry, Tim Murtagh. And actually, well, maybe we'll take the word of a current county head coach and a coach who's won the county championship a couple of times. I think we'll go with that. And finally, before we move on, someone who might not be playing in a franchise game, but Luke Fletcher. Batted at 11 and scored 50 on the second morning. By close of play, he was opening the batting. There was one over to face when Stuart Broad took the final Middlesex wickets. He stormed up the Lord's Pavilion steps. I've never seen anyone move so quickly. Came down, had a pint overnight, said he was just going to go out and bat properly. He did. He made 50, the first man to make 50 batting, opening the batting and batting at 11 in a first-class game.
That is class, isn't it? That's such class.
And he's just such a character. We've had him on the show, Dan, haven't we? And he's a fine performer. He had Middlesex 0-2 at one point. He can't walk through a room without being stopped for selfies, for words of congratulations, and he always obliges, Dan. Oh. Great to see Luke Fletcher again in the runs, in the wickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. He's a great laugh. And I don't know why he was steaming up the steps. Maybe the tavern bar was calling him. I don't know. But no, it's fantastic to see.
He was so keen. It was when he was just wanting to get his pads on. He volunteered to go out and bat. So, yeah, great to see. Right, so a couple more games left. Finally, we'll run through them very quickly. Draws, draws, draws. Leicestershire and Sussex with a draw. Big total for Sussex, 450. 138 for Clark. Ollie Carter, young wicketkeeper, batter, made 72. Cal Parkinson, 3-98. The two Parkinson twins, both in the wickets and runs. Leicestershire all out for 210 and then 3-9 runs for Azad, and he's someone you went to uni with, Joe, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hassan, he's a great bloke. Yeah, he's so good. Such a gem of a human. And I think he was doing engineering at uni and then obviously fully involved in the cricket programme, MCCU stuff, with quite a few other names on the county circuit as well. So that programme's obviously served Loughborough alumni very well, and the county games profited as a result of that, with many names being involved and scoring runs actually this year, and Sam Cook taking wickets as he has done for the past couple of seasons. So yeah, no, really good. Always look out and have a look how Hass is getting on, and yeah, seriously impressive guy.
You had another day out at Lords, didn't you? Didn't both the men's and the women's Loughborough sides get to the final at the same time?
Yeah, 2016 that would have been. Hassan would have been playing then. I think James Bracey might have been about as well. Michael Burgess, obviously, once of Sussex, now of Warwickshire, scored a few runs last week. Yeah, and a few others. So always looking out for the Loughborough guys.
And there's a few in your side from that day as well that are currently playing pro cricket as well in the women's side.
Yeah, quite a lot, actually. Tash Farrant, Holly Armitage, Kirsty Gordon, obviously guys that are dunks. She scored 100 yesterday in the Fairbreak tournament. So, yeah, no, I feel very grateful to have been at Loughborough at a similar time for all of those girls. And, yeah, always good to see them smashing it.
A vintage year for Loughborough. Don't take on that alumni team.
Definitely not.
And Annie... Leicestershire, you've been involved in this a little bit in terms of they had 4,000 tickets that Sean Jarvis and Leicestershire gave away. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah, so Sean Jarvis contacted me and Becky Fairley-Clark from the Cricket Supporters Association to work with him. We're going to try and do this every year. He's very keen to do Support Your County, he calls it, and bring in... He reached out 4,000 free tickets to people that wouldn't necessarily be able to get to the game. There was a lovely video that they posted of Kestrel Mead Primary Academy with the pupils that are aged about 4 to 7 with ASD, and they were all on the pitch and the players were signing stuff and they were all cheering. And it was just lovely. And these sort of things are so, so, so vital and so important. And also Sean said he went round and had a look and there were piles of free tickets that other people had come in. So, you know, even if it's just a few, it's just brilliant to bring these people into the game.
Great to see the Sussex youngsters. We've spoken about them all season. And Tom Clark there, he's 21, 138. Oliver Carter from Eastbourne, from the delightfully named the Saffrons, home of Eastbourne Cricket Club. He got 72. And Archie Lenham, 48. But the game ultimately finished in a draw because it was past the bedtime of half the Sussex side.
Yeah, it was. And Ollie Robinson, Dan, he only bowled one over in the first innings and bowled a little bit more in the second, including some off-spin. Now, it's been... John Lewis came out and talked about his fitness previously, but, I mean, this is just... He had food poisoning. His coach said he was on two drips, so he can't really lay any blame at Ollie Robinson's feet in this game, surely.
No, I mean, why was he selected at 10:30 when he's gone down with food poisoning at 11:05? I mean, we were speaking about food earlier, but I don't know what's going on there at Leicester. I don't know
what he's eating. Maybe he had your Palmo.
Maybe he's had Matt Renshaw's or Matty Renshaw's Palmo. But I don't know. I don't know what's gone on there. I mean, there was an article by David Hopps about it on ESPN Crick Info, which is worth a read. But I don't know. But what I do know is that Rishi Patel, whose mum always listens into county cricket natters. Oh. He got a few runs for Leicestershire and fantastic to see Rishi in the runs as well.
Yeah, fantastic. See, Robinson, would he be in your England test side? In a word, I'll ask all three of you. First test against New Zealand in June, a couple of weeks' time. Ollie Robinson in the 11. Dan?
Yes.
Yes.
Annie?
Yes, definitely.
Joe?
Yes.
Oh, it's like X Factor, isn't it? Oh, you got four yeses, yes. Ollie Robinson. Excellent. Right. Lovely. Right. Move on. Last but not least, one of my favourite counties, actually, Derbyshire. Naturally, the game was a draw with Worcestershire. Jack Haynes, like London Buses, never had a first-class 100, but now has back-to-back ones. Runs for Azhar Ali, runs for Jake Libby as well. And, well, you know, you don't need to tell me who scored runs. Don't need me to tell you who scored runs for Derbyshire. 5-6, 5-8. Shaun Massoud, 113. They've got 11 centuries already. They only had 5 last year. No, he's still not in my fantasy team.
And he still is in mine. My captain now, in fact.
But Anuj Dahl as well, 114. Not out for him just after he signed a contract extension. So, yeah, great to see Derbyshire doing so well, Annie.
Really good, yeah. Fantastic. And, I was delighted to see Massoud back in the hundreds again.
Back in the hundreds, yeah. Joe, who's the person who in the women's game, who's the Shaun Massoud who is guaranteed for 100? If you could bring in an overseas signing for the Sunrisers.
Oh, good question.
One batter. Would Sophie Devine be
I'll
up
I'll take
there?
Sophie Devine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or perhaps try and nick Heather Knight from Western Storm. Yeah, Dan, Worcestershire, they've just not really got going yet this season. Jake Libby at least has got going. It's just the number of draws isn't helping them.
No, and again, they're a victim of the stagflation going around the county championship, as I described earlier. But good to see Libby back in the runs. He was a guest on the show here last year. The one who I always keep an eye on at Derbyshire is Sam Connors. He's rapid. He's got real wheels to him, and I like the look of him. And I always look out to see how he's doing, and I see he picked up a fiver in this game. And he went for over 100, but it probably wasn't the most conducive pitch to a pace bowler, but it's good
got
to see him sticking
order,
at it
he?
As well.
Mm. Yeah, he bowled well at Lords in the first game of the season. It's those balls. You touched on those balls, Dan. It was the same at Lords. They changed them in at least once in each innings in the second Middlesex innings. 8 balls was all the over. That 8 overs is all the ball lasted before they changed it. It was something the Notts bowlers were saying. There's a bit of stitching. They're missing some stitching. They've maybe taken a row of it out, and it's really causing issues.
The seam is a lot flatter, that's for sure, than the other Duke balls that last year.
I spoke to John Simpson about this, and last year at Lords, since the sort of erection of the Compton and Edrich stands, the ball's gone round corners. You know, so those stands have made it a lot more atmospheric at Lords, and the ball's gone round corners. This year, it hasn't swung at all. And what I'm finding from the games that I've covered is that the ball doesn't tend to do anything initially, and then the lacquer goes off it at 6, 7, 8 overs, and it starts doing all sorts to about 25, 30 overs, and then goes dead. And the skipper's taking it up to the umpire, and he's putting it through the, what is that thing called? You know that little gadget he's got? What is it? Has it got a name? Is there an actual name for it? Is it just called that thing?
Ball hoop.
Dave Bracegirdle and I had that exact conversation this week. We're going on that ring thing. Joe, you're the pro. You must know.
It looks a bit like handcuffs to me whenever I see it.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, there was lots of talk at Beckenham about the ball, and people saying that's the big difference this season, more than the pitches. But that's just talk.
That's just talk. Talk is what we've done a lot of on this show, and we're going to draw it to a close. A slightly longer edition, but I hope you will agree. I certainly think it was worth it, because we've covered the Charlotte Edwards Cup. We've had Joe Gardner with us. Joe, what are you? Joe underscore Gardner 14 or Joe Gardner underscore 14, isn't it?
The latter, yeah. The Joe latter. Gardner underscore 14.
Joe Gardner underscore 14. Jordan Henderson is her hero, a Liverpool fan. She's been celebrating cup victories and maybe an outside chance of a league win. Lots of hope on Stevie Gerrard and Philip Coutinho doing you a favour. Back in action Wednesday, right, Joe, against Western Storm at Chelmsford, is that one?
Chelmsford, yep, under light, 7:00.
Fantastic, that'll be a brilliant occasion. Chelmsford's always good, under lights. Next Saturday they're playing as well, 21st of May, 29th of May, 1st of June, 4th of June, 5th of June is the last Sunrisers game, right, down at Guildford. And then finals day at Northants, Joe's home ground, on the 11th of June. Joe, thank you very much. And I hope your car does not put too big a dent in your wallet.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, we've loved having you. And Annie, thank you as ever. I'm glad the smile is back on your face. I know it's been an interesting 24 hours or so on social media, but plenty of support, which I hope has brought a smile back.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I mean, it's been totally overwhelming and ridiculous, really, but there you go.
Yeah, and Kevin Peterson, you're always welcome to come on here and talk about county cricket with us. Open invitation. Just ping me your email address. Dan will send you the Zoom link and you're on. And Dan, thank you very much to you. As ever, what have you got this week lined up? Any umpiring on the go?
No umpiring. I'm going to go to Lourdes. I'm going to go and have a beer with my mate Martin Emerson. So I'm going to pop in on Thursday to Lourdes. It's strictly for pleasure. It'll be nice not to be working at a game of cricket and just to be able to have a beer, actually. So there you go. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't been to Lourdes yet this season.
If you're in St John's Wood about 11 p.m. on Thursday night and you see two blokes, one with a beard, stumbling around, then it's the BBC's finest cricket commentators. Right, that's all for me. Dan Whiting, Annie Chave, Joe Gardner and Sam Dalling signing off. We'll be back next week, one more round of the county championship before we break for the blast. In the meantime, stay well.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Sports Social Podcast Network.